So we are in our next to last week of our character study, our Bible study, our personal look at the biblical person, the biblical character, the biblical hero, Moses. I'm going to jump into a passage that I have, I've spoken on here before. I've spoken on several places. I heard a guy preach on it, actually, at Hickory Grove Baptist is where I was, leading some music there one time, and the guy spoke on this passage, and I was just baffled, because nobody ever preaches out of Numbers, and so I was like, this is cool, and this is for the church. But Moses' time actually spans through Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and the book of Deuteronomy. All five books contain information about him. And in case you don't know, the book of Numbers is called Numbers because of a survey or a census that is taken both at the beginning of the book and at the end of the book. And the book itself, if you were to plot it out, would look a lot like what the people of God need to see as far as seeing themselves in the people of God under the leadership of Moses. What the book of Numbers is basically about 10, 10, and 10, all right, about 10 chapters of God doing what God does and pouring out all of the love, all of the compassion, all of the needs. Every need is met just right there, buffet in front of everybody. If it's hope, he gives hope, you know, okay? Then the next 10 chapters are the people running from it, whining about it, crying over it, complaining about it, telling God what he is not, and the frustrations that come therein. And then God doing what God does, teaching the people where they need to be, putting them in their place, redeeming them, loving them, etc., etc., etc. Now, this is a recurring theme as we talk about Moses. And the reason I want to continue to hit it is because it is a recurring theme in your life. It is a recurring theme in your life, and it is a recurring theme in the life of Christians, in the life of the church, in the life of people in general. We do some things well. Yes? Sometimes we act like we're supposed to. Sometimes we follow the rules that we're supposed to. Sometimes we treat our spouses and our children like we are supposed to. Some days we feel blessed. Other days we feel cursed. Some days we have high moments. Other days we have low moments. Some of us live our lives in a way that the highs and the lows don't necessarily affect us all the time. Other days, everything that when the wind blows, like last night, affects everything, okay? I mean, we live or die on whether the Cats win, or we live or die on whether Ohio State wins. We live or die over basketball or football, and we shouldn't, but we do. Relationships cause us to be stressed and anxious, or not to be stressed and anxious. It is the story of life. And right now, among all of the people of the world, look, we all, is anybody tired of commercial ads right now? Listen, I'm serious. We watch good decisions, bad decisions. We watch finger pointing. We watch blame. It's happening, all right? And this is exactly what the people of Israel did. This is what they did, and this is what their leader, Moses, dealt with. I had another thought that came across my mind this week as I was praying through how I felt about the way things are going here, how I felt about the statistics that I see, how I feel about how life groups are going. And I'm a human being, okay? I am not driven by those things, but I am. I can't help but be affected by whether or not we can pay the bills or not. I can't help but be affected by watching our church go from 170 to 90 in less than 2 weeks. I can't help that. It doesn't affect my week, and I'm thankful for that. But I do see it. All right, I do live it out. And it turns out that as God was, you know, I think a lot when I drive, and as God was doing what he does and in speaking to me, he brought me back to something very basic that as we finish this week, I want you to see. We're going to start with a very familiar passage first, and most of you will know it. John 3:16. Everybody knows that? Yes, say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Here's the end of that passage, okay? Oh, I need to hit the black screen and then hit that. There we go. That still didn't work. Okay. There we go. There's the end of that. I want to show you something because most of you may not know this, all right? Did any of you, everybody knows John 3:16. Some of us know John 3:17, but most of us do not know John 3:15, nor do you know that Moses' name is in there, okay? Look, this is the verse right before John 3:16, the most famous verse in the world. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Well, what in the world is he talking about? Numbers chapter 21. They traveled from Mount Ur along the route to the Red Sea to go around Edom. But the people grew impatient along the way. They spoke against God and against Moses, and they said, "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no bread, there is no water. We detest this miserable food." Now, mind you, for the 10 chapters before this, they had manna on the ground every day. They had gotten water out of a rock. They had been taken through the Red Sea so the army did not desolate them. They had a chance to go into the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey, where they brought giant grapes the size of grapefruits out to show to them that it was exactly what God said it was going to be. And they voted not to go into said promised land that God had gotten for them because there were big people in there who might beat them up. And two guys get down on their knees and say, "We have to do this." And 10 guys say, "I know we're supposed to do this, but we're not going to do this because we don't have enough money. We don't have enough guns. We don't have enough rocks. We don't have enough people. It's just going to be really bad. So let's wander around in the desert for 40 years. And God said, "Fine, you don't want to go where I've got for you? Go wander around in the desert." And he still sent quail and manna and food for them. And yet, here they are. "Why did you take us out of Egypt? It was much better that we're slaves and working 20 hours a day, because at least we can eat the food from the Egyptians. God, you stink." I was going to say a different word, but I chose not to. We do a lot of whining and complaining. Do you have any fathomable idea that if you make more than $17,000 in a year, if you make more than $17,000 in a year, you are in the top 3% on the planet? 97 people out of 100 make less than you on this planet. Yet you have the audacity to whine about what you can and cannot afford. We need a bigger car. We need a faster car. We need a louder guitar. We need a faster computer. We need a more digitalized HDMI, UHDMI, Roku Fire Stick. Bring it to me. 150,000 gigabyte internet access. And when the internet goes down, it is like a nuclear bomb went off in your home. Some of you remember when we had to go There are children in the room who have no idea what this sound is. No idea that there was a time when you dialed up internet access. When there was a little guy that didn't run. There are more cell phones in some counties in America than there are on continents in the rest of the world. But we whine. We complain. We store up. We were involved yesterday. Some of the men helped to move, you know. And you walk in and you wonder where everything came from. You lived in this house for 4 years and now you've had to unpack everything. And it's like four homes exploded into boxes. Do you think God ever looks down at us in America and goes, they're whining again? Well, when the whine, God is patient, he is, but he is also just, and he is also a parental figure. Now, what you hope is that when the parent finally breaks, they don't break with a giant switch or with a belt or with a club or with, you know, baseball bat. You hope they break with something a little calmer. Well, God finally broke. Then the Lord sent venomous snakes among them, and they bit the people and they died. Not the Jesus we always preach about. Welcome to Nicholasville Baptist Church. We love Jesus. Behave, or he will send a copperhead after you and you will die. Join our church, Coffee and Covenant, next Sunday. I mean, really. But this is right there. Right there it is. God was like, oh, miserable food. Take this. Snakes everywhere. People dancing, running, mommies dying. And the people go, we screwed up. Don't you think God wanted to say something a little choice right then? I think no duh is not enough. Don't you think he looked down and went, oh, you think? They're running to Moses. Can you speak for you? I've been speaking for you for 39 years. You screwed up. I don't think God was happy about it, but I think he sat up there like this and went, nah, whine again. And then Moses goes in his little tent. Dear Jesus, what? I know you love us. Yeah, I love you, but right now, snakes. But the people know they did wrong. Well, they ought to. But you love us. I do love you. I'm just tired of your whining. Will you do something about it? Yes and no. What are you going to do? I want you to make a snake. I don't think the people are going to like that. I didn't ask if they liked it. I just told you what to do. I want you to make a snake. I want you to put it on a big old stick so everybody can see it. It's got to be way up there so everybody can see it. And if they look at it and a snake bites them and they look at that snake, they're going to be okay. So you want me to make a fake snake? Yes! Fake snake. Nice little rhyme, by the way. Hold it up real high. Hold it up! And so if I hold that up and they get bitten by a snake, they won't die. That's right. I can do that. So Moses makes a snake. Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord said to Moses, make a snake and put it on a pole. If anyone who is bitten can look at it, and they will live. So Moses made a bronze snake. Listen to me. Moses made a bronze snake, and he put it on a pole. Then anyone who was bitten by the snake looked at the bronze snake, and they lived. Let's talk about what happened in Israel first, and then let's take it to today. All right? So, they get this bronze snake. Pull, and they kind of hold it up real high. And the reason they had to hold it up real high is because we're not, I mean, there's 100 people in this room, and maybe if there were people across the street at the bank, and maybe even down at First Baptist, if I got it up like this and not break some kind of good chandelier, and you know, then they get to see it. Well, the problem is the snakes were there for a while, not hours, not days, weeks. And so if somebody got bitten and the snake wasn't up and they couldn't look at the snake, what happened? They died. So Moses is standing there with his arms up in the air, holding up this giant, heavy, bronze snake. Now, I've been here for 30 seconds. I'm good. In another 30 seconds, I won't be good. All right? My shoulders will begin to burn. After another minute, my shoulders are burning, and then my neck will start to hurt, and my ears will start to hurt, and y'all will start to see that kind of thing happen. And balance is not, you know, the thing. And I'm talking too, so that's not helping. So here in less than 5 minutes, I may or may not be able to hold this thing up. Now, if Moses' arms get tired, what happens? He drops the snake. If Moses drops the snake, what happens? People die. Yes. So something had to happen for this to work. What had to happen? Aaron had to come along. What did Aaron have to do? Hold his arms. I can't do it anymore. Hold his arms. Yeah. Not for hours, but for days. Not for days, but for weeks, so that people could die. So Aaron comes along and he does good. He helps. Somebody else comes along. He does good. He helps. But now these three guys, their arms are getting tired. Their lungs are getting tired. Their muscles are starting to atrophy. And so they cry out to somebody else and they say, we're going to need some help. And so they go to the next person. They say, would you help us hold up the bronze snake so that people can live? And that person looks at them and goes, well, you know, I want to. I want to. But I don't go to Bronze Snake Baptist. I go to Silver Snake United Methodist. It's not my snake. So they go to the next guy. Would you help us hold up the snake so that people live? Well, I'd like to. But I go to Copper Snake Catholic. And we don't do bronze snakes. So there's person after person. I'm a Democrat. I'm a Republican. We take communion every Sunday. We wear suits and ties to show our love for the Lord. So you go ahead and you hold your snake up on your own. And pretty soon the snake comes down. Because it's not about the snake, it's about the copper. It's not, we're good with the snake, but you put the snake on cedar wood and we're pine wood people. And pretty soon, not like it happens today, but we're arguing about the color of the carpet. We're arguing about the age of the song that we're singing. We're arguing over whether it repeats the chorus or has 17 stanzas. We're arguing over whether it's electronic or on paper. And we've made the point, everything but the snake. Now, I wonder for a second, church, if our world has been bitten. I wonder if our world has been bitten by a particular snake. A snake that says, you don't need Jesus. A snake that says, he didn't mean that tree. A snake that says, you don't have to wander around with him. You can have more. And I wonder if a world bitten by that snake could use something set high up on a hill that might just save their life if they would turn their eyes upon. Because if he be what? Lifted up, what happens? He will draw all men unto himself. I wonder for a minute if God's not up there going, I wonder if they'll ever get that story in Numbers is about them. I wonder if they'll ever put two and two together and stop getting three. Hold him up high enough. Forget the wood, forget the bronze, forget the numbers, forget the pews, forget the songs. Just hold him up high enough, and maybe, just maybe, people who are bitten will live. Maybe. Here's my question, and do not raise your hands. Do not raise your hand. I have been struggling with this fact in my head. I know that over the last 8 weeks, there have been over 230 people who have sat out here at our church. Yet I walk in my office, and 160 is the highest number any given Sunday. And we've been between 145 and 160 for the last 2 years. And I'm driving through Hardee's this morning. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. Here's what he said. How do people come to church? People ask them to come to church. So here's my question. How many of you asked somebody who doesn't go to church to come to church in the last 7 days? Don't raise your hands. Just think about it. Did you invite someone to church in the last 7 days? Do you know how I know the answer? Because here we sit. But Craig, we're not supposed to lift up the church. I'm not asking you to. I had a great conversation with somebody this morning where I said, my job is not to throw lasers or lights, but it is my job to give people something worth coming to hear. It is my job to stay in the scripture and preach Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I make every effort, however poorly sometimes, to do that job, to preach Jesus. Here's the problem. Here's the problem in our society. Here's the problem in Nicholasville. Forget the rest of the world right here and right now. I think people have been lifting up a different Jesus. I think people in our subdivisions and people in our Walmart and people at our ball fields, I don't think they don't come to church because they don't like you or me. I think they don't come to church because they don't like Jesus. What do you mean they don't like Jesus, Craig? They don't like the Jesus we've shown them. They don't believe in a Jesus who has part-time followers. I don't believe in that Jesus either. But some of you do. They don't believe in a Jesus with part-time givers. I don't believe in that Jesus either. They don't believe in a Jesus that is the head of the universe, but that is seventh place in our lives. I don't believe in that Jesus either. They don't believe in a judgmental, condemning Jesus who hates gay people, and people who've been divorced and people who've had abortion. I don't believe in that Jesus either. See, we've been showing them a Jesus that is not the Jesus of the Scriptures. And that has got to stop. Not just you, not just me. All over this country, it has got to stop. There is a Jesus who came, lived, and died for hellions like us, just so he could bring us home to him. And we are no greater or no worse than anybody outside these doors. And our Heavenly Father wants them, wants the Democrats and the Republicans, wants the Trumps and the Obamas, he wants the haters and the righteous to come home to him too. And all he asks of us is that we lift him. Listen to me. The real him. Up. Well, Craig, how do I know the real him? Keep studying. Keep reading. Keep listening. Keep growing. How do you get to know anybody? Spend more time with them. Let me say that one more time. How do you get to know anybody? Spend more time with him. Then anyone who was bitten by a snake and looked at the bronze snake, they lived. I have met people who believe the day they die, that's the end. That's fine. That's fine that they believe that. Doesn't make it the end. I happen to believe that the day you die is not the end. I happen to believe that your soul is eternal. And I happen to believe that it is eternal and it will end up in heaven or in hell. Hell is death. Heaven is life. Anyone who looks at the snake can live. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert. Listen, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Just as Moses lifted up the snake in the desert, it went out. It's fine. So the Son of Man must be lifted up. Why? For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes, listen, should not perish, but have everlasting life. This is the verse before John 3:16. This is what we have to get. We live in a world full of whining, complaining, selfish, not listening to God, people. And the people who are listening have to step up, have to lift up. And when our arms get tired, somebody's got to be there to hold our arms up. And when their arms get tired, somebody's got to be there to hold their arms up. Because the minute we think it's okay, listen, the minute we think it's okay to stop inviting, the minute we think it's okay to just get it for us, is the minute we screw this whole thing up. I'd like to ask you to do something this week. I'd like to ask you to start a journey for yourself. Get to know Jesus.
Craig, that's just silly. We all know Jesus.
Do you? Do you? Do you know Jesus? Like the Jesus of the Bible? The Jesus that stopped in the middle of the desert to sit with a hooker? The Jesus who picked the guy that everybody hated and went to his house with all kinds of beverages and let him hoop and holler right around him until they asked him just the right question so he could not only save him but his whole family too? Do you know that Jesus? Do you know the Jesus that wouldn't have been in the church building every Sunday but would have been in the bars instead? Do you know that Jesus? Because that's the Jesus I read about in the Scripture. The Jesus that took the thrown down woman who was caught in adultery and saved her from the church people. Get to know Jesus. And then tell somebody else about him. That's when the ads stop making a difference. I mean that. That's when they don't bug you anymore. You fall in love with Jesus and you realize that there is not a political ad that will ever be run that can alter what he already knows. Do you understand that? Nothing's going to happen on November 6th that Jesus isn't already giggling about. He's already there. He already knows who's going to control the House. He knows who's going to control the Senate. He knows when you're going to live and when you're going to die. Get to know that Jesus, and things just get better, easier, a lot less stressful. I don't worry about how hard the wind blows because I know who blows. Know who blows the wind. And if he be lifted up, he will draw all men to himself. Stop whining. Stop majoring in the minors. Stop sweating the small stuff. Get to know Jesus. Listen, and then tell somebody else about him. Get to know Jesus. And then tell somebody else about him. Get to know Jesus and then tell somebody else about him, because the world is dying and you know the answer. Let's pray. God, we've all heard John 3:16. We know it. But in the hustle and bustle of my everyday life, in the planning, in the implementing, we forget that the gospel is as simple as this. Turn your eyes upon Jesus and look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. It's that simple. Well, Craig, no, it's not, because the world just keeps on coming. Yes. Yes, it does. And God is already there too. Unsurprised and unfazed by everything that happens. Hold that hand. God, I pray that everybody is able to grab hold of the words to a song that I used to love. I want to hold the hand that holds the world. Let us grab hold of that hand this week. And then let us reach our other hand out to grab somebody else's hand to introduce them to Jesus. Let that be where our church rises and falls, on Jesus Christ and him crucified. Not on the color of the carpet, the brick on the walls, the amount of TVs we have or don't have, the amount of tithe we take in or don't take in, none of that matters. Jesus. 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 Amen.